I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
I tell everyone who dates my daughter the same thing. My flesh is decaying. Yours would serve nicely. This is Core. Is gonna hate.
He really say that? Mephisto says that? That's a real clip.
Yeah, it's canon.
Okay.
I mean, the thing I'm more he has a daughter that people are way into dating.
Yeah. I guess I'm not entirely sure what's up with that, but Mephisto, a man of mystery, is he really a man anymore? I think he's kind of traded that all in for.
Something I don't know. The part of him I can't stop looking at is his tongue. Have you looked at the model? Like, he's got a tongue, like a real pink, normal-ass tongue just right there in his mouth.
Kind of a wagger dagger, though, right? Like, it's out there. It's moving.
Oh, wagger dagger.
You know, like it's not like just, it's sort of dangling, and he can see it move when he's doing his, like, just floaty business. He's got a little hanging there. Doesn't he?
I think the problem is it's just too normal compared to the rest of him. He's this weird, fleshy, decaying bone monster with no legs, but then, like, just a normal tongue.
Well, it's what we all strive for, John, in our lives.
Yeah.
Speaking of John, that's John and also Bo and I, Scott Johnson. We're here with the Core Show, and it's time for us to talk about Heroes of the Storm. We're glad to be here. Again, we bumped a day for reasons. We had Tom Merritt in town all week here in the studio, and as a result, well, not all week, for a couple of days, we had to bump things around. That meant Current Geek on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. And these guys were nice enough to let us shift one day again to accommodate. And we should be back to absolutely normal Wednesdays next week. I can't foresee any reason why that should be any different. So come back then. But stay here now. But come back then also. Next Wednesday, normal schedule. Back on it, baby. It's been interesting because, you know, we talked last week a bunch. And by the way, tons and loads of feedback about how much people enjoyed the last episode. I don't know why they liked it much, but people really liked our discussion about games in general and our thoughts about, living games that are always being updated and sort of are just always there, whether it's League of Legends or something like Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm or Hearthstone, something like that, versus games that come out like Spider-Man. You play it, you love it, it's great. There's maybe some DLC, but then you're done and you hope for a sequel. And the differences between those two, we kind of got into those last week pretty deep, and that really struck a chord with a bunch of people. So I guess thanks for all the feedback. That was awesome to hear that, because I was a little worried that we were going in places nobody cared about. But I think the context was important to our favorite MOBA and how we play it and when we play it and how much we play it and what drives us to play more. And just nothing but glowing feedback for that. I was actually thinking we might get a few people going, stick to the subject, like that guy.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we did that a lot last week. I'm not surprised to hear it. I'm very happy that people were complimentary, but I hadn't given it much thought until you mentioned it now. That's
crazy, that's right? Great. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was an enjoyable episode to participate in last week. So I'm glad people felt that way.
I completely agree. And so if we ever veer into that again, we won't be as we won't be as nervous about it. Not nervous, but you know, we try to keep things on
apprehensive.
Yeah, because we want you to get, you know, we want you guys to come to the show for what you want to come to it for, and get what you think you're getting, and not change things up too much. But I always like those broader philosophical discussions in the world of gaming, generally speaking. And so I thought that was really good. To start things off this week, we're get a little philosophical as well. I want to talk a little bit about the new versus old. And I don't mean, let's call John new, and let's call me old. Okay? Bo is like the piece of meat in the young old sandwich. Actually, John's not that much older than me. John and I are like 10.
Okay, I was wondering where I was going to end up.
What are we, 10, 12 years apart from each other or something, John? It's not that much. It's not really.
I don't know. I'm 34.
Okay, so that's more like 14 years. But still, that's fine. I was 14. You were a baby. I was into girls. You were a baby. Anyway.
The story doesn't change even the older you get. You got married, still a baby. We started this show.
Still a baby. Still a baby. Yeah, and don't forget, when John was a baby, I was watching Temple of Doom in the movie theater. Maybe with a girl. I don't know. Anyway, that doesn't matter. My point is, that's got nothing even to do with the subject. I don't know why I brought it up. But
which girl?
Temple of Doom is not a good date movie, Scott. I'm going to just throw it out.
Her name, you're not wrong. I think John's right. John's right.
One, it's gross. Two, it makes you want to be single.
What? I just watched this movie again last weekend, and John's not entirely wrong. It's kind of gross. Like, Bo, remember the scene where they're all eating monkey brains and stuff? It's kind of hard. A little hard for a date, don't you think? A little bit. Like, all bugs. They're open up a beetle and eat its little cooked bum part. And then there's
part of the fun of going to the movie. Girls don't like this?
Well, some of them. I don't know. Janae was her name, by the way, for the record. She was very nice. Okay. And I don't know what happened to her, but I had a real crush on this girl. And I think I took her to Temple of Doom, or a bunch of us went together.
That's nice. Did you make out?
Mm. No. I was 14, and yeah, and then
they were
terrified.
Out by monkey brains.
So anyway, we just wanted me to eat a beetle, a bunch of monkey brains, and we had to listen to Kate Capshaw for 2 hours. Want to make out? The answer is no.
No. You don't want to date anybody. That was the point. You just, you know, single is better.
Single is good. Single is good. Although I just
said, what did they say that? You know, smartphone. What you looking for? Love, Dr. Jones.
No,
isn't that the line?
It's no time for romance, Dr. Jones. He says.
That's it.
Yeah. Sure. And by the way, in retrospect, and I said this on Twitter, and I'll just reiterate it real quick. A couple things. First of all, a lot of people didn't know that Temple of Doom was a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Most people don't. It blows people's minds. And I didn't know till the late 90s, so I'm not even claiming like I was a big smart guy when it came out. I think a lot of, if not most people, didn't know, even though they have like a date at the like on the screen where they'll say, you know, Shanghai, 19, whatever it was. And versus the Raiders one where they had a different date that was further ahead. People don't pay attention to that. So we all thought it was like, and that's why it felt a little discordant. That movie felt weird in the middle, because it's like, well, wait, you just did Raiders and you found the Ark of the Covenant, and it came out and turned those bad guys into candles and stuff. And the freaking, don't look at it, Marion, close your eyes, Marion, right? All that. And you thought Marion and him were going to be together for a while. Figured that was all going to work out great. And then you're suddenly in India trying to find some stones, and the guy's pulling a heart out. Kalima, Jakti Day, all that. Like, it's very confusing. It's a little bit weird. If you think of it as a prequel, you go, oh, okay, this stuff was going on before. Okay, I get it. He hasn't even talked to Marion again. He hasn't been to Nepal. He hasn't done any of that stuff. Anyway, the point is, the problem with that movie was never Short Round. The problem with that movie is Kate Capshaw. She's terrible in it. And I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm saying she is written badly. Whoever made the character, and it's great that Steven Spielberg met her and got married and good, you know, bullied stick to them. Is that a phrase?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
I can say bully.
We're going to say yes.
Well, it's bully. Bully to them?
Bully, you say bully for them. Them or bully for you. Someone's if like, you oh, I won bully, six Grammys.
Oh, right.
You say bully for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. But only if you win six Grammys. Anyway, the point is, she's really bad, and she kind of almost ruins the movie. But Short Round's great. There is nothing wrong with that kid. He's just what you want. Yeah. I think he's great. Indy. Anyway, here's what was my whole point. Oh, okay. Old versus new and Heroes of the Storm is the context.
Yes.
Not when I saw a movie and John was a baby. Bo, you were talking about how you're kind of so, in a...
Someone in chat room asked if it was John's mom.
Oh. It was not John's mom. You guys are real funny.
It's a very small world, apparently.
Jeez. It's only a few. It's not that many years. Plus, John's a total nerd and likes Indiana Jones movies, right?
I do.
And yeah. you hate the fourth one, like the rest of us.
Well, why did you say like such an insulting thing about them?
I just don't... Scott, I don't even know why you're talking about the fourth. They haven't made a fourth
one. Yeah, you're right.
They're talking about it, though.
Yeah, there's talk of a fourth.
What it could potentially be.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited about what could be a fourth Indiana Jones film. Sure. But there hasn't been one, and it wasn't the worst thing ever made. And we, if you thought that, you just imagine that there hasn't actually been a fourth film yet. So keep your eyes open. Coming soon. From
See,
Steven's
now there's Spielberg. A movie that makes you not want to date. Stop slinging crap into the dune like Crystal Skull isn't like, you know, like why?
I agree. Where
is
it?
What's that? Is that the one where you want to divorce?
Yeah, that's the one where you want to die.
He's like, we're going to get divorced, but first let's watch this film.
Yeah.
And get in the mood.
And then you're done and you're like, oh yeah, definitely getting a divorce. We're not staying together after this terrible film. He was in a refrigerator.
People who were in love reportedly felt like getting divorced after.
Freaking Indiana Jones in a fridge. What the hell was that about? Anyway, so let's talk about the struggle at the Heroes panel. Do I try something new? Do I get in there and go, oh, I haven't touched Kerrigan in like 9 months. Let's get in there and see what's up with Kerrigan, right? Or do you go with an old favorite? Do I cave and just do Stukov because that's, you know, my jam? I'm curious what you guys think. So, Bo, you're there. You're on your own. Let's say you're just in to get some games in. You're trying to get some quests done, whatever. Do you ever just have a temptation to go, yeah, I never really gave so-and-so the time of day and had a bad experience with him earlier, so now's my time. This is when I should play. Or do you go with an old favorite?
I mean, yeah, I have those moods where it's like I want to play something comforting and familiar. And then I will play heroes I'm less comfortable with but want to get better at. And then because the hero roster is so, I mean, I hate to say it, we're happy to have more heroes. It's large. There's not time to play everything.
No.
So I feel like a hero that I'm not interested in or just want to try, I'm at the point now where I'm like, I don't have time for you. Life's a valuable thing. Short. Don't care if you're a meta pick or don't care if... I don't know. There's reward at the end of it. Life's too short.
I like this.
Can't play more. Do you know what hero it was that broke you of that? Because it used to be you were in till 10 for just about every hero.
Yeah, and I have most of the heroes to 15. There's certain heroes that I don't. Cho'Gall, Probius. And I always felt like at a certain point in time, oh, I'll work on those. But now I'm like, there's so many heroes in the game now, and Probius is so unfun. Like, why would I spend time playing it? Like, to me, excuse me, subjectively, I'm sorry, but Probius is really unfun for me to play. Like,
sure.
Not saying it's bad or good, just unfun. I do not like it.
Totally understand, and I think that's fine. That you
and there was a
position.
Time where I would say my education and skill in heroes, like, it's rewarding to play the heroes I don't like as much because the pool is limited. But now there's just an abundance of heroes to play.
Yeah.
So
I wondered if we'd ever get to the place where the roster was so large that we would start to feel that way. Because in the early days, it was like, well, I need to know everybody because at the drop of a hat, something could change in even the most simplest of quick match meta that I need to be prepared for. And it's really not that many heroes, so I should know everybody. And I don't want to not learn one because maybe Blizzard did a cool thing I'm just not aware of. And like you feel like you kind of got to catch them all kind of mentality. But I think we're now to a point where that roster is just such a big freaking beast, and it and will just continue to be so. They're not going to drop heroes. They'll only add them, although slower, but still. I kind of, I'm kind of coming around to that. Like, I don't need to know every healer, every tank, every assassin. Maybe I just need to know the ones I like the most. And sometimes those will cross over into, ooh, they're good meta picks, and sometimes they won't. But I think I'm coming around to that too, or I'm at least getting better at that thinking. John, how about you?
The only downside, I'll let John speak, but the only downside of that thinking is there are heroes that you probably would like to play if you gave them a few games and earn, you know what I mean? Like, only sticking to the ones you like makes it difficult to find new favorites.
Right.
That's the downside.
So, well, it's not only the downside, but that's the whole counter argument for this is that if you really truly want to be a hero's aficionado, you do like Bo does and make everyone 10. But I'm kind of with you on like, there's so many days or, you know, so many hours in the day, so many days in the week. I just don't know if the day is probably never going to come where I'm like, it's time to finally dust off those lost Vikings and see what's up there. I'm probably not going
to
do it.
I wouldn't tell anyone to waste their time playing something they're not interested in anymore. There was a time where I would say everyone should, but not anymore. And I know, sorry, John, we'll get to you in a second. I really wanted to express that with the last three Heroes releases, I felt a certain level of ambivalence towards them. And I was excited for Yrel, but when she released, I didn't actually end up playing her that as much as I thought I would. And it isn't because, again, not a statement on whether they're good or not or poorly designed or anything sort of inflammatory or salacious, but just that there's so many heroes and we've done the hero release thing now how many times? 60 times?
Mm-hmm.
The whole, hey, guess what's coming? Especially as we do a show, but even if I didn't do a show, as far as news goes, it's the most regular thing. You know what I mean? The excitement's gone. The honeymoon's over.
Yeah.
Sex is a little different now. Love is a little different now. And the relationship has changed. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like, well, we're going to do this. Yeah, and it feels good. But it's not the, you know, head exploding with fireworks kind of thing that's going on with these hero releases. And I'm feeling weird about it. In the same way you feel weird about it when your relationship changes. And it's not a bad thing, but it feels a little bad, I guess.
Sure.
I feel a little, I don't know. I'm in that stage right now. That's,
I like it.
Like, Mephisto's out. It's great. Anyways, let me not play it. And, you know, which I haven't played Mephisto yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's the 60th time I've, you know, embraced
made
a new hero.
Love to Mephisto.
Yeah. John, your thoughts after hearing all this?
I've got so many thoughts on that, but to bring it back around to the subject, I kind of feel the same way. I actually was not going to buy Mephisto initially, even though I was excited for the hero. I think he looks cool, but there was this feeling of Kel'Thuzad just got a rework. I've been kind of messing with him. It's kind of it's scratching a similar itch that Mephisto, when I tried him, was scratching. We're starting to get to the point where, you know, you're not getting the hero that does the thing that's not in the game yet.
Right.
You know, Mephisto has a kit. It's a kit that is not, it's unique, but it's unique made up of things that are similar to other things you've done and seen before.
Right.
And so there is an element of, well, yeah, I've done all these things. I haven't done it in this one kit, but I'm kind of okay. I don't know if I need him. And then as soon as I said that, and then I logged in the game and I was like, but what if I got him and played him? And then that's what I did. And so I'm maybe not completely free of the cycle just yet, but I understand where Bo's coming from because there is that element. I mean, there was a time when I think it was Jaina before Kael'thas, right? Where the idea of a mage hero was what?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get a real mage? Because it was Tassadar before that. He was our mage. Like, that was our mage magic damage, was him dumping his little circles on the ground and people going, oh, it's so much damage, I can't deal with it. And then they put, you know, Jaina in the game and they put Kael'thas in the game, and we had this whole new class of heroes that was brand new. And it just doesn't, it feels like we've moved beyond that, and that's good and that's healthy for the game and that's where we should go. But it does muddy the water a little bit, you know, as far as characters that you're into and excited about. But I say that and I think, well, I'm sure there's still a character and a kit out there that if they announced it, I would just go, oh my gosh, I have to have this. I have to play it right away and I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm sure that
I don't know off the top of my head what it is, right. But
it's probably true for all of us, right? There's some character somewhere is going to speak to us in a way that we're going to be freaked out about, or there'll be one that catches us off guard. Stukov is one of those for me. Didn't really think much about him until I tried him and just got sucked in. But you brought up a good point, and I want to add this to this, and because it sounds like we're kind of in agreement on this. Heroes is a little bit like Taco Bell. Here's my great scenario. So Bo had the sex comparison. Mine's Taco Bell. All right.
Okay.
Some people are into both. We don't want to get into that.
And those are two good things.
They're two good things.
Yeah. Almost to a perfect Saturday night.
Yes. So here's my thinking. There are certain ingredients that go into the heroes that we have. And at Taco Bell, there is like 7 ingredients they have on hand. And at first you're like, oh, wow, dude. Burrito, there's a taco, that's a gordito, like you're making things and you're introducing new, ooh, the nacho thing and then the flat tostada deal. But you start to, after a while, go, wait a minute, these are all the same 7 ingredients or some combination thereof in a slightly new package. Here's the Baja burrito. Well, kind of like the old burrito, except they did this and this and this, and same ingredients. They got the new gordito. In fact, I saw on the commercial over the weekend, is got the, instead of just cheese on the outside of the double shell thing, it's got cheese and meat out there, plus the meat in the middle. But at the end of the day, you're like, well, yeah, same 7 ingredients. And in Heroes, I do think, and I think this is true of all MOBAs, by the way, and shooters for that matter, you start to get to a place where the same, because of what the game is and the kind of game that it is and how you have to balance it, you kind of are just swapping around the same ingredients and you're making small tweaks to them here and there. But like the W on Mephisto is that electric charge thing. And it's really not that different than other kinds of AOE abilities in the game. But this one's mobile and also it's not permanent. It has a cooldown and it can't be interrupted, or, you know, you can do these, you have these variations, but at the end of the day, it's kind of, you know, Tassadar's little thing on the ground is Jaina's thing on the ground. They come at a different pace. One lingers, the other comes down 3 times. One has more damage than the other, but at the end of the day, mechanically, you're sort of doing the same thing. And then it's just down to, well, do I prefer this over the other way? A lot of the get-out-of-jail stuff, like scooching forward with Tychus or Li Ming's Blink or various other characters' sort of escape mechanisms, are all kind of carved from the same chicken, but it's just creatively applied. So that being said, I think that's what I'm having right now, is just a little bit of like, all right, we're getting to the point where we've got this sea of mechanics and they all kind of have, we're starting to see a lot of things that are similar to each other. The way that Stukov heals is now, you know, now you're starting to see that with some other heroes and vice versa and stuff like that. So my thinking is that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what happens is it does cut down on the hype meter, because I feel like we know what all the ingredients are and we know we're going to get some combination of that with a cool new piece of art on top of it, with a nice little animation we didn't expect. I mean, it's not that they're not making these things different, you know, in some way. But in a lot of ways, you could say this is true of World of Warcraft. Everybody's got to get out of jail thing, like feign death or whatever the mage does, or I can't think of everybody's, but yeah, Somebody's got a way to get away from aggro if they need it. You know, in the case of a druid, they can transform immediately like Rhaegar does and turn into a horse and get the H out. Like there's same functionality, different skin on that functionality. And that's just video games, and I get it, and I don't have a problem with it. But I think the hype meter goes down because we understand that now. And as a result, right, what we're waiting for is not so much, okay, what's the new kit and what's the combination of mechanics being played out here? Because we kind of know it'll be pulled from the pool. It will be more like, oh, I can't believe they're bringing so-and-so here. He's my favorite dude ever from blank. That's what probably will drive, I think, us as players more when new heroes are announced. I'm more excited about Mephisto because I'm really invested in the Diablo universe. So anything Diablo related, I get really excited about.
Yeah.
But for you guys, it might be, I don't know, I can't think of another character right now off the top of my head, but something you're super stoked about from Warcraft or from Starcraft or something. And
I mean, we just need the cheesy gordita crunch.
Yeah, like, that's what we're looking for.
You know, sometimes it's just, it's not that it was new ingredients. It was just somebody said, we can make the perfect thing. We have the technology. We can make something that's super good. And that's Artanis. But maybe there will be a second Artanis. Maybe that'll be the double cheesy gordita crunch. Maybe we'll get there. I don't know. I don't know what that is yet, but maybe we'll see it. But I mean, we've talked a lot recently about how much we like the current WoW expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But even that game has the same issue, because at a certain point, you have killed the Lich King, you have killed Deathwing, you have killed Garrosh, and then they have to come out on stage and go, well, this time the real enemy is you guys. Ooh. And everybody goes, what? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's maybe not going to be the most exciting announcement in the world, but, you know, the expansion's still solid, and it's what they do with it. And I think the same thing applies to these heroes. It's not intrinsically bad. It's what they do with it going forward.
Yeah. I think I agree. Well,
I will say this. Yeah. I'm going to add, by the way, I want to say the way you explained that was perfect.
Oh, wow. Also made you hungry, perfect. Though, didn't it? Made you want to
perfect
talk
10.
About...
No, not really. Oh. But perfect 10 on the explanation.
Oh, wow.
But I have something salacious to say. Just because I thought of it as you were explaining all that, to say that I would be okay with Cade 6 being added to the game.
Cade 6?
From Destiny.
Yeah, you've been playing a lot of Destiny.
Well, wait, but, there was a time when the Blizzard Temple, in my view, was this holy space, and please don't poison it with your non-Blizzard IP.
Yeah.
But Cade 6 is all right.
You're digging.
See how you feel about Cade 6 when Destiny turns on you in a couple months.
The only problem with adding a Destiny character is maybe they'd want to add other Destiny characters, and the rest of them are all terrible.
Yeah, they have one, and they killed it.
Yeah, like Diablo did. The Deckard Cain, the iconic character everyone loves from Diablo, let's kill him.
Yeah, they blew that. They shouldn't have done that.
You kill characters when you have other good characters in the wings, not, hungry Tyrael.
Hungry Tyrael.
Hungry Tyrael, the icon of the Diablo franchise. My stomach has this pain in it.
It feels
and
funny.
And I ate until I couldn't eat another bite.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. I mean, you have
they just killed Cade 6 with the new expansion.
Yeah. Destiny. Would you actually be okay if a Destiny character showed up in Heroes? It wouldn't bother you to have that.
Now that I've played it, I'd be okay with Cade 6 showing up.
Yeah.
Both still got some
One of the classes as an imagined Diablo style, if they put a Warlock Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's basically putting an Overwatch character in it, so I don't know what the point would be, but
Right.
I'd be okay with it.
I bet we never see that, but I don't think it would bother me. I think I'd be okay with it.
Just again, because they're in the same campus, they're on the same launcher, so the thought sort of crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonder what, then it just starts to open up this door of okay, what else could they do? Would they
What if Michelangelo from Team MT is the next hero?
Well, it'd have to be stuff that are connected to, right? So you could Pitfall Harry or freaking
Tony Hawk,
there you go. That's an Activision character, sure.
Yeah, I'm out on Tony Hawk. That's
well, who else? A guitar hero person. You could have...
Wait, they have Call of Duty, right?
Yeah.
That's their shooter.
It's Price.
Soap.
McTavish. Soap, dude. Soap McTavish. All right. This is all a terrible idea.
His ult is he sneaks around and only moves when he's told to.
Yeah. When he's constantly in a weed suit or whatever they call those. What are those called?
A ghillie suit.
A ghillie suit. A weed suit.
Oh my God. Chad Muska? And the Wombo Boys says Chad Muska.
Who's Chad Muska?
Your 90s skateboarding video called They Want to Take You Back.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah.
Chad Muska.
Pitfall. Harry, I'm telling
you. It's not spoilers talking about Kate Six dying. It's literally every ad on every website is Kate Six is dead.
Oh,
come
yeah.
play our game.
No, it's all.
I can't scroll through Twitter without seeing Kate Six die. So.
Yeah, no, Kate Six. I don't even play Destiny, and I've heard all about this.
So. I haven't finished all the content yet, so if he gets resurrected, I wouldn't know. As far as I've played, he's dead.
Is it really Nolan North's voice now and not
yeah,
Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, they switched out Nathan Fillion for Nolan North.
Well, I don't love that.
You can kind of tell a bit because both lines are like in the game, so you go back to old content and it sounds different.
Hmm. He's like what's his name? Lore Master Cho. if you click him, you get different voices.
Oh, weird. I don't think I like that either. All right, well, whatever. Destiny, good luck to you. Seems like you got a lot of people to make happy with Destiny 2 right now. And I'm glad you're having fun, Bo. I should probably check back in there.
Oh, it's a weird time because, like, WoW dropped their expansion. Mm-hmm. Big deal. And then, like, Destiny a week or two later drops theirs. That seems bad. Yeah. Because it serves different audiences, but it's kind of weird timing, I think.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's the whole thing about just Blizzard stuff in general. But then again, those drop the same. When Spider-Man was this week? Has that already happened? Yeah. Or is that Friday?
No, it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's just everybody had preview stuff.
I'm dying to play the new Dragon Quest game, but I can't justify it because I know I'm going to be doing nothing but Spider-Man as of tomorrow.
See, and I feel like I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm probably going to change my mind.
Yeah.
And it might be because it's console only and it kind of irritates me.
Right.
But I'm sure I'll play Spider-Man, and I'm sure as soon as I start hearing everybody, especially you, raving about it, I'm going to be like, oh, shit, all right, go buy Spider-Man. But I really want to play Dragon Quest, and it's also on PC, which is nice.
Yeah.
So I'm this close to caving on that.
Wait, is Dragon Quest like Dragon Quest, the one from original Nintendo and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, but it's new.
It's the newest version of it, but yeah, that series.
Dragon Quest 11, I believe, is the number.
So...
It's supposed to be the best. The reviews have been it's the best Dragon Quest game ever made, which is a really hardcore thing to say. And you're seeing it from like trusted sources who know their JRPGs, have followed this stuff forever, and are claiming this thing is just like the greatest thing ever. And it's got me so tempted to freaking pick this thing up. Let's see. Where I want to find it real quick.
It's
releasing
tempting.
On PC too.
Yeah.
I can't. Spider-Man is my favorite hero. Those old Spider-Man games where they got the swinging right.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it looks Spider-Man like Zelda. In heroes and I'd be okay.
It looks like the new Zelda.
Well, isn't Spider-Man's also. Spider-Man's also isn't that published by Activision?
They have made Spider-Man games before. I think Marvel now licenses out to everybody, so
maybe that's the maybe we could get it's Spider-Man and Heroes.
Get Spider-Man in there.
Hero of the thing. Anyway, people talk about how massive it is, how fun it is. I'm very tempted for this Echoes of an Elusive Age is the name of the subtitle.
Well, I love to talk you into buying things, but the truth is, Scott, if you cave, I'll cave, and I don't want to cave.
I know. I've noticed a lot less pressure from you on this one than usually.
Because I'm on the edge.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend $120 on games this week. That was part of the reason why I didn't want to buy Mephisto, because I knew that there was a $60 thing going to happen on Friday.
Yeah.
That was for sure.
Yeah.
And they got me with Mephisto anyway. Not only that, but I bought the stupid full bundle. I didn't even buy just the hero. I was like, well, I gotta get a robot version.
I did the same thing. It was only 15 bucks, though, because I had some gems and it was all right. But, yeah, no, I'm in the same boat. And then you got Red Dead coming real quick, and I'm just, the whole world's about to change. It's going to suck. But also be great. And if that Spider-Man is as good of an open world game as everyone's saying, I probably should just do that. But part of me thinks that's too big and commercial, and Dragon Quest is, I know, big, but it's a different kind of big. I don't know.
I'll just say this. The Spider-Man game looks phenomenal. I'm watching gameplay footage of this. It's XI, right? That's the one that looks like Zelda?
Oh, you said Spider-Man. You mean Dragon Quest? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, Spider-Man is like getting universal praise. Everything I see about it looks awesome. I'm watching this Dragon Quest thing and...
Really?
Go with Spider-Man, yeah. It looks good. It looks, I mean, yeah. It's Hands down, Spider-Man is the best.
It just looks like it will scratch an itch that I like to scratch once in a while.
Get both, like, Scott. And when you're at your PS4, play Spider-Man. And when you're at your computer, play Dragon Quest. Yeah. Natural divide here.
Uh-huh. I'm being salacious, but it's in an effort to help you be decisive, which is like, I'm looking at how I feel when I look at Spider-Man stuff and how I feel when I look at Dragon Quest. And it's like, clearly Spider-Man is like,
all right,
set up to be.
Here's how I think I can convince Scott on Spider-Man, because I think Scott's a sucker for cool tech things like this.
Yeah.
You know the coolest piece of tech I saw in that Spider-Man, and you should go look at pictures and stuff to see it. It's one of the first games in a city that I've ever seen where instead of the windows just being purely reflective, you can see inside them.
Ooh.
Like, they use shading technology, so like when it's night and he runs past a window that's lit up, there's a 3D effect. You're stuck to the glass outside, but you can see into the room that you're running past.
Okay, that is cool. Because usually they look like Mylar, like just like a flat glass Mylar thing. I am impressed with those kinds of things. Am I going to be sad that I just have a regular old freaking ghetto PS4 and not a Pro?
No, I'm sure it's fine.
All right. No. 2013 tech, here we come.
Oh, there's Spider-Man and Heroes I'd be okay with.
You'd be all right with that? If Marvel had a deal with Blizzard and they just started introducing like the Hulk and everybody in there?
Oh my gosh. I would... Yep. That's the like franchise they could pull from that I'd be 100% okay with, as if Marvel characters started showing up. I know that would make some people upset, but I would be 100% okay.
I'll bet there are a bunch of people that would be upset, yes. I'll bet you there would be, but I wouldn't.
And that way they could get the money from the Marvel deal to actually put verticality in Heroes so Spider-Man could swing off things.
Right.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's not bad. Change the whole engine just because Spider-Man came in. I'm in.
Hey, man. You get development money where you get development money.
I guess so. All right. Well, the big news this week, of course, is Mephisto is in the game. And I have some thoughts. Bo mentioned that he hasn't had a chance to play him yet. John's played a bit. Got my hands on him finally. I did buy the bundle. You talked about how his Q is a very slow windup. Mm-hmm. That feels better now than before, because I messed on the PTR a tiny bit just in a practice thing. If I think that got tweaked, but I don't read it anywhere, so it could just be in my head. It feels faster now. That windup doesn't seem so bad to me now.
I kind of got the same impression, but I also didn't see any changes, so I think maybe I just started getting used to it.
Yeah, that's what I was. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to chalk it up to we got used to it, but it really did feel tangibly faster to me. And so maybe they've tweaked it and, you know, whatever, they can do whatever they want on PTR and they don't necessarily have to tell us about it. But the windup,
I got a bit
so
of tri mode in before the show, and it felt like I pressed Q and then I was able to run ahead of the missile and then the missile shot through me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Can you do that? I don't remember. Maybe weird. I never tried to do that.
Yeah, you can. He actually, one of the cool things about his Q is that you can place it anywhere. You know, a lot of characters, if you want to shoot behind you, you have to turn your character briefly or they will stop and turn to shoot. You can right click to move Mephisto, aim your missile behind you, and he won't break stride. It will just fire behind him.
Oh.
So it's one of the few abilities in the game that actually allows for that sort of movement.
I kind of like that. I didn't try it, but now I want to. I think his whole kit is fine, and he feels good and speedy. There's something speedy about him. It could just be that he's just like a little electric freak show, and he just seems fast. But everything about him just seems kind of frenetic and cool, and I like him. I think he's going to be fun to play. Again, it's, you know, going to our original conversation at the top of the show, it's not the same sort of excitement I would have for a new hero 2 years ago, because we're in this new rhythm of giant roster, so many characters that really I should be focusing on the ones where I'm gonna bring the most value to our team league games and things like that. And so all of that said, I think he's going to be fun to learn and mess with and see what some of the pros do with him, and maybe that'll give us ideas. I don't know, but the more Diablo characters in this game, the better, in my opinion. So I have no problem with him coming. Who's left of the primevals? You got Diablo, you got Mephisto, Bale. Who besides Bale is there? Oh, the kid.
Then you've got who was the booby lady?
Oh,
you know, the lady with the boobs.
The lady.
Look, I'm just telling you, it's her primary feature.
Yeah,
boobs and poison. Those are the two things. Is it Andariel? No, maybe
Andariel.
She's not the.
I don't know.
She's not
Google
the spider.
Google Andariel, and if boobs come up, then it was the right person.
Oh, let's see.
I was googling woman with the boobs.
Good luck with that.
Bo is looking for this name the same way kids looked for porn.
The term primeval is one of several definitions.
Oh, I found her. She is the booby lady. Man, who drew this?
See, I'm not kidding. It's not me just being gross. Like, that's literally her thing.
Yeah, she's got tassels and that. Tassadar. She has
one
tassadars.
Other one.
Call them tassadars.
There's five of the great evil. The primeval was one being.
Yeah.
You've got the three brothers for the prime, and then there were the lesser.
There's there's Andariel. Oh, she is a boob lady.
Yeah, see?
I mean, it's like they exploded out of some clothing that aren't pictured, and her hair is flying back, and it's just, yeah, it's nuts.
She's got the tassadar she's wearing. I keep saying tassadars.
This is my new role.
I cover
Haranda's
the nipples.
A healer.
That's right.
I keep things safe and kosher.
Do your nipples need covering? Because I can cover that. Sorry. Go ahead. Yes.
That's okay. The last one is Duriel.
Duriel.
The twin of Andariel.
Hold on. Who's the big? Who's the one in three who is the prince kid and then turned into the giant swiping?
That's Belial. The Lord of Lies. Yeah. They're not. There's no prime evils aside from Diablo. In the Diablo 3 campaign.
Okay. I thought Belial was a primeval. And I also thought Nipple Boy.
No, he's a lesser evil. The primevals is Diablo, Mephisto, and Bale.
So
the lesser evils are Asmodan, Andariel, Duriel,
and Boyle.
Yeah, Boyle.
No, I don't.
I don't think
Andariel and Duriel are lesser evils. They're great evils.
Oh,
and I'm on the Wikipedia.
Well, Deckard needs to work on his book because he needs to stop writing the word "great" and "evil."
Yeah. Andariel, by the way, stands for Maiden of Anguish. That's pretty cool. Mm. And it says here she's one of the lesser evils, whatever that means. It's the only female evil. She is aided by the lesser evils for many years, but eventually she lost faith in their plots. 2 decades ago, she chose to help Diablo during his resurgence and seize the citadel of the Sightless Eye. Ultimately, she perished at the hands of brave heroes. That'd be you and me.
Yeah.
We did that.
I have the list, by the way. Here's the list.
All right, lay it on us.
Prime evils, Mephisto, Bale, and Diablo. So
yeah, John was
Bale,
right.
And the lesser evils are Duriel, who we would still need, and Andariel, who we need, Belial, who we need, and Asmodan, who's there. Good job, Asmodan, you made it.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's a horny guy with the nipple rings. He could use some nipple covers, that guy. Okay, hold on. Bale, that's our next one. That's who I want next. Bale.
Barrel.
How do we?
I mean, it seems like how could you put two of the three brothers in the game, right?
Well, hold on. Why couldn't you put all the brothers in the game?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, how it would be, it would feel unfinished if they didn't include all of them.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And are they real brothers? Are they like, you know, grew up on a farm and then went bad? Like, I don't know what the original origin of those guys.
The original is that there is a prime evil and that their essences were split off.
Okay.
They're called prime evil. Well, they're called prime evils. I guess it's Tathamet.
Ooh.
And the aspect is the prime. His name is just his aspect, the prime evil, but he's the progenitor, and he's a seven-headed dragon composed of all darkness and vileness that Anu cast off itself before the universe was created. I have no idea who Anu is.
We'll check this
one
out.
Letter away from the
sensor
board.
That was the original being.
Well, Tyrael, while he wasn't...
Diablo lore is weird, let me just say.
Yeah, it is pretty weird, but here's a Tyrael quote before he became just hungry and hanging out in town, okay? Quote, this is while he was still the justice angel of justice. It is the sum total of all seven evils housed within one body. There is an ancient legend known only to few as the great dragon Tathamet. who was the original embodiment of evil. The legend says that he was ripped apart during an epic battle with Anu, or Anu. I'm glad that doesn't have an S on it. And that the burning hells are composed of his remains. So this is like Blizzard's obsession with like ancient gods and titans and stuff. That's what this is. It's another one of those. Because the burning hells are his guts.
I put a picture in our Discord because it's kind of interesting. For some reason, there is official Diablo 3 art for Bale.
Let's see. I'm going to look at this real quick. Show the chat.
I'm not 100% sure why they did it, but he looks pretty cool.
Is that official fan art? Official art, or is it fan art over like official looking?
No.
Copy.
I'm going to say that I don't know.
I don't know either.
But it looks very official.
He looks like a Xenomorph and Asmodan had a baby a little bit.
Yeah, and then a Draenei popped his head out.
Yeah,
a Draenei. Oh, he's a Draenei Zerg, basically.
Right.
Hello.
No.
Hello.
The facehugger grabbed me.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, he's the next guy I want. Bale, bring him in. Let's do it. What else to say about Mephisto? Obviously, he'll get a bunch of playtime as he is now out in the wild. I also did get a game in on the new the freaking Japan map. What's it called? What's wrong with me?
Hanamura.
I like Japan map.
It was a quick match and I spent way too little of time, I think, there to really truly get my head around the changes and just how it feels. But it felt pretty good. Seems like a normal map now to me. Just seems like a map with a proper mechanic that you have to do in the middle. And it seems fine. And it's not, I don't think it's as risky as the other one was. And it's probably good. It's probably good that it's nice and chill and works fine. So there you go. Hanamura, back at it. Let's talk about spell power. There's a thread on Reddit.
Yeah, so this gets a little heady.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and summarize it a little bit briefly, but I do recommend going and checking out the Reddit thread if you find this interesting. There was a post created by a user on there called Warbags. I'll go ahead and give him a shout out because I am going to lean into his example because it's a pretty good one. They recently changed the way spell power works, and it was kind of an innocuous little patch note in, I think, 2 patches ago, something like that. Not 100% sure on that. But basically, the example that they gave as far as a problem is they said if you're playing as characters who are capable of weakening the spell power of a character, so let's say Kael'thas is out there frying your team, and you use abilities that lower his spell power, and he shoots off his orb. Can't think of any name.
Pyroblast.
Pyroblast. Thank you, Bo. He shoots off his pyroblast and it's chasing someone down. One of their counters to that is you limit his spell power, and then when that pyroblast hits, the spell power is limited, and therefore the person would take less damage and survive it. However, if Kael'thas gets killed prior to that pyroblast hitting, that spell power now shoots up to 100% and becomes lethal.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Blizzard actually said, we were talking about this exact example and we're going to be addressing it.
Huh.
To where effects that limit that sort of thing would persist through death.
Right.
So it's an interesting little thing with how spell power is working. But another odd thing to consider in your games right now, that if you apply a debuff to somebody of some kind and kill them, effectively that debuff is then considered gone. So anything that they're still putting out there that's lingering will go up to full power now.
Okay.
It's not just Kael'thas that would be the example, but it's a limited use case.
The only thing relevant, though, is the additional is the damage prevention. Like, if you have your own buff, you know, sometimes you're like every third hit with the thing gives you extra damage, or if something's slowed, you do damage. Does that also work if you happen to die, but the damage is incoming? You know, it's pending, Pyroblast is an easy example because it has such a long windup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, auto attacks sometimes go haywire, things like that. I don't think it's something you can pay attention to in game, but, you know, from an interesting standpoint, how do the underlying mechanics work? Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think spell power reduction is like a very noticeable one because there are big spell power effects that can persist through death.
And the other general thing to keep in mind is this is coming on the heels of the change they made to where it used to be the damage of a thing was calculated at the time of the cast. Now I believe it's calculated at the time of the impact. I think that's what the change was. Mm. And that's a pretty significant change as well to consider within this. That's what makes part of this possible.
Well, for the listeners who are listening to this going, I'm not sure, you know, how this affects me as a player, I will give them both the conclusion and the TLDR, okay, of this article, and this will maybe help. The TLDR is, sometimes the correct play is now not to kill the enemy because reducing their spell power might be more impactful if they've already launched some delayed spells, which is non-intuitive game design, in my opinion, says this person. So that's kind of the summation of the entire point he's trying to make. And he says, in conclusion, in my opinion, good and intuitive game design would make it so that killing the opponent would never punish your own team to the extent that it can now. I shouldn't have to tell Kerrigan not to finish her combo so I can slap an enemy with Garrosh so that their spells are weaker upon impact. I shouldn't take more damage because an enemy died instead of was maimed. That's a weird sentence. When I attempted to lower their spell power with an ability. It is very likely this change was made because, from a coding standpoint, keeping track of individual projectiles is probably not efficient. But if it means making the game so unintuitive that you can't, that you have to start going against your gut to play correctly, then I think we are going to have to consider other options. So that's the main complaint.
The one point of order I'd call to that is that actually John was mentioning they changed that in the last patch, and they did. Ability damage is calculated in flight. So right. I think because things that affect distance, like Tyrande's Sentinel, change. So those changes are calculated not on cast, like John said, but they're actually, I think they're live updated throughout.
Okay.
So that actually happens. I think this guy's being a little bit salacious and extreme to prove a point. Employed exaggeration, which is just that spell power in this unique scenario where you reduce a hero's power, and I want to say healing received, but when you're dead, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But where their spell damaging effects or auto attack damaging effects can remain on the battlefield after death. Those, I agree. I think fairness should be that those receive the reduction.
Right.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, that's the thing to remember is that Blizzard agrees, and that's the direction we're going. So while it's not true now, it will be true later. So keep it, I would say, in the back of your mind if you're really going to be interested in these sorts of things. But ultimately, Blizzard agrees, and they're going to be changing it.
Yes, good point.
I will say I've played enough games, and I've never... Like, this explanation doesn't make me go... Oh, I've been having these problems in my games, and that explains it. It's like it's basically never come up in a way.
I've never seen anybody take spells.
So it's interesting, and I think that's why we're talking about it, because it's cool and interesting, but I don't think anyone needs to worry about changing up their play at all.
Right. There's a real, that's a very meta level thing for him to be talking about, regardless. So, yeah, whatever. It's good. Blizzard probably pays attention to this stuff. I know they read Reddit. Maybe they think it's a bigger deal. We'll see if anything comes from it. All right, here's a question that's been on my mind. Clearly, it's been on our minds collectively, because here we have it in the notes. Back when we got our G.I. Joe Brotherhood of Nod skins, there was a lot of speculation that the TV thing getting smashed at the end with the fist and the picture of the was it a girl? Well, I don't remember what was on the picture. It's like a pig and a girl. What was it?
Oh, yeah, it was a little girl holding a pig.
Holding a pig. Right? So a lot of people thought it was Junkrat, and we've speculated back and forth. Bo did a lot of screen capping about... You know, whose arm is that and what is he wearing and all this stuff. But it was like a big hint, like they were dropping a bit of a teaser there. And then Mephisto comes up as the next hero, and none of this new skin seemed to fit that at all. There's really no connection there. So what happened to the tease of the fist man punching the screen? Was that just vapor, or is there more to it? And are we just being impatient, or did Blizzard just freaking forget about it thoughts, feelings, John? Do you think they just said, eh, we're not doing it, forget it, never mind?
Is it weird that I find it more compelling that they threw this in and now it's been so long and they haven't hinted at anything?
No.
Like,
I think that's a fine...
If they were teasing something, you'd expect a week-to-week, you know, build of something like they frequently do. You know, they'll show a blurry photo on Twitter and you go, oh, what's that? I think I see space aliens. And then the next week they clear it up a little bit. You're like, oh, my gosh, it's got to be a snake person. And then they clear it up and you go, oh, it's Garrosh. And that's just the way their media typically goes. So for them to put in a hint and a tease and then just dead quiet about it. They haven't even really acknowledged that it was a tease of anything. We all went crazy and started CSIing the thing, and Blizzard's just been dead quiet about whatever that is.
Yeah, usually
it's
what
made me way more curious about what it could possibly be now as a result.
Yeah, usually something gets dropped, they say something, there's a joke on Twitter, or they, like in this, that Diablo light switch thing they did where everyone would say Diablo on Switch, they pulled it and said, No, we just think it's a cool light switch, and it's not really coming. Of course it was coming to Switch. They were working on a thin, the freaking liars. So they like playing this game, and it's fine. I like playing the game with them, but nothing, nada. Bo, it feels like a year ago that was going on, but really, it's just because they haven't said anything.
I think it was with the white main patch.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago. It was just like barely
happened.
It
feels like a while ago, but it's been a busy couple months. I think it's skin stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think they don't really tease out more than one ahead, and they stop with they used to do duo announcements, like what are the next two heroes. Mm-hmm. So you'd think maybe you'd hear something. Now it's the teases are pretty quick or pretty shortly before the hero gets announced properly. So I think now that there's been some time, this is just like a we've got more skins in this vein kind of thing.
Kilmanark 1285 in the chat room has a theory, says Blizzard probably had some issues come up and they had to delay that character, whoever it is, but Mephisto was on the bench and ready to go, so they put Mephisto in. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Sure. Sometimes could happen. What's the phrase? Occam's razor? The closest thing to...
The shortest, the simplest explanation is often the most accurate.
Most accurate. Yeah,
it's also like Chekhov's gun. If you show a little girl with a pig and a man punching a screen, you have to use the little girl holding the pig and the man punching.
Only though if Schrodinger's cat is not around. If you don't have Schrodinger's cat around, then Occam's razor doesn't do anything to Chekhov's gun.
Schrodinger's cat assumes that her little stuffed pig is both alive and dead if exposed to radiation.
What's the Chekhov thing? I've heard of Pavlov's dogs.
Oh yeah, there's Chekhov's gun.
Chekhov's gun is if you show a gun in a story and focus on it, you should use the gun.
Oh, you're talking about Anton Chekhov, the Russian playwright.
Yes.
The member of the
not Star Trek.
Well, I'm like, it's like I thought we were doing scientists, and it's like, oh, okay, you're talking about a playwright.
That'd be Chekhov's. That'd be Chekhov's phaser. Is what that would be. Or Phaser. No, he wouldn't. He'd say Phaser. He wouldn't say
Phaser.
Star Trek. Catch it. All right. Let's do this. We have a sneak Pete. A sneak Pete? Sneak peek. Sneaky sneak Pete.
I prefer that.
That's a show on some channel. Oh, by the way.
Isn't he a character in Breaking Bad?
Sneaky Pete? No, Skinny Pete.
Skinny Pete.
Yeah, Skinny Pete.
Oh, Skinny Pete.
He's great. Mad stacks of cash, yo, or Benjamins, whatever he says. Anyway, I was gonna make a quick recommendation just outside of this.
Okay,
I had my doubts going in, but I'm a big Tom Clancy fan, and I also like the books, the Jack Ryan books. I think the movies are all kind of hit and miss, but I think it's a really great spy. Those are great spy books, and it's a great character and all that. And I was very, very wary of how a series on Amazon Prime would go with Jim Halpert as the main character from The Office.
Did you see A Quiet Place?
No, and that's everyone's. This is the same question everyone asked me.
Okay,
they're like, "Have you seen that yet?" Because you'll think differently of him after that. And he's good in 13 Hours, and like, it's not that I don't think he can do it. I just still kind of expect him to look at the camera and make fun of Dwight. Like, it's just kind of weird. But
terrorists, right?
I'm into it now. I'm like five episodes in. That show's great. I highly recommend it. Highly. If you like spy stuff, no brainer. 101. Great. Really good. And it's got that. It's very Tom Clancy. Like they've stuck to that stuff really well. Carlton Cuse directs a lot of them and also is the showrunner and has a lot of love for the material, and you can tell. And there's a lot of good actors in it, and I think it's awesome. You guys should totally watch it.
I'll have to check it out. I was thinking about it, and then I fell down a rabbit hole, and over one weekend, I watched all of both seasons of The Good Place.
Oh, The Good Place is good.
I really like that show.
That's a fantastic... That show has no right to be good. Like, it's one of those shows where, like, really? That's good? How is that good?
Is that a Kristen Bell joint?
Yes.
Yeah,
she's great. Actually fell in love with that advertising one she did. Even though it was kind of bad, it was kind of good. What was it called?
The one with Don Cheadle in it?
Yeah.
Showtime thing. I don't know where it aired up there.
I can't remember what it was called.
Happy Times Are Here Again. I don't know.
But Don Cheadle's a jerk, basically.
Yeah. He's a real turd.
It was actually really good. She was like, to me, Kristen Bell was like it was in the shows that like teenagers like to watch. Yeah. I was just like, Kristen Bell's in this. I better avoid.
Yeah.
And I actually became a big fan through that show. So
it's good.
Anyways,
stuff.
Good. And I was, but I looked at The Good Place and I was like, oh, I can't watch that.
It seems weird. It doesn't seem like it should work. Ted Danson's character shouldn't work. None of it should work. It works though. Yeah. It's the right kind of funny. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing, that show actually. But anyway, I'm just saying, if you like yourself some spy business, You're gonna change. First of all, you'll be like me. You'll be like, oh, all right, freaking John Krasinski. He can do some stuff. I'm into this. Yeah. But also, it's not just about him. This isn't focused entirely on him, despite the fact that the show is called Jack Ryan. But it's really good, and people should watch it if you have Amazon Prime. All right, sorry. Moving on. Hey, possible unintended sneak peek at a new role system. Oh wait, I have music for this. I actually got this just for this. Hold on. So, all right, I'm going to read that one more time, or I'm going to read part of it and say, possibly unintended sneak peek at a new role system. All right, that's supposed to make us feel, you know, pensive and nervous and stuff.
Is that from Audible?
That is not from Audible. That...
Because I feel like I've heard that before almost every audiobook I've ever heard on Audible.
You've heard it before, but I'm going to play it again and see if you can guess again where you've heard this. And you've heard it recently and probably many times. Okay. So here it is again. Any ideas?
Oh, it's so familiar. The
Star Wars riff?
Nope. Any ideas?
Where is it from?
It is very familiar. It's like a Spielberg era kind of sound.
It sounds like it, which is why I captured it, because I thought it was really cool. But it's actually, it's taken from a hunk of the Zandalari zone in World of Warcraft right now.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. I want to say it's in, what's the desert? As Voldor. No, you didn't just walk right into Voldor.
It was so sad the way that zone killed Harry Potter's parents.
Voldemort? Is that what you call it?
Voldemort. That place has there's a corner of it. If that music plays, it has this very cool, like, trippy kind of mystery sound. I actually really like the soundtrack of that whole game so far. It's really good. Anyway, so what do we know about this? What's the role system? Who wants to take this? Bo, do you know what's up?
All we know is this shirt appeared on the Blizzard Gear store. That's all we know. As you'll see, it's a nice pink made of a 500, no, how many thread? It doesn't say how many thread.
It looks like,
let's say 500 micro thread.
Yeah, I'd say purple. Yeah. Doesn't it look purple to you?
It's
it looks purple to me.
Fine purple long sleeve shirt.
Uh-huh.
And it has Heroes of the Storm, and it's called Roll Icon Long Sleeve Shirt.
Okay.
And there are six icons. And the theory is
there's only four roles in Heroes of the Storm right now.
Interesting.
Well, they have these highly detailed symbols on the right sleeve. There is a shield. There is a fist holding a brass knuckle or fist weapon from World of Warcraft type thing.
Yeah.
There is what looks to be like Some sort of symbol from Destiny 2. I don't know. some sort of weird Chinese.
It looks healery to me, character. Almost like a cross with another cross on it. I can't.
Cross with eyes, but it's got Owen Wilson's nose.
There you go, broken nose at the end. It is kind of Asian looking. I can't tell on that thing. I don't know.
And on the left sleeve there is a circle with another circle around it and some arrows going out of either end. Or all four sides of the circle. There's another one with a battle axe.
Yeah.
And there's another one with what looks to be a bow and arrow.
Okay.
So
interesting.
These symbols, the shirt's called Roll Icon. These are symbols not existent in the game, never seen before, not in any weird class abilities, brand new. And the thought is that this is maybe a mistakenly launched early piece of promotion to announce a new roll system. Probably at BlizzCon. If Heroes panel or Heroes stuff's anything like last year, we'll probably get some sort of state of the game update deal. And it's bound to include some news about roles going from 4 to 6, it looks like.
Yeah.
If you go to the Reddit page, they've done a slightly better job of describing some of the symbols we got stuck on. They called it a totem and a circle/shield.
Oh.
For the ones that we weren't 100% sure on. Sure. I can see that.
I'm going to make a guess here. Top one, tank protection. Uh-huh. Next one, brawler.
Yep.
Hand, berserker Eve, brawlery type characters.
Bruiser.
Below that, healer, some sort of totem-y kind of reference to healing and well-being. Go on the other side, I'd say that's like a mage thing. Like some kind of mage symbol, the circle with the symbols on mm-hmm. it. The axe thing, I would call that, I don't know, another form of bruiser, but maybe...
Melee DPS,
sure. Yeah. That could be... Yeah, melee DPS.
And the next one down is range.
Range DPS, like, yeah. That makes sense to me. I think this is all... is this pulled down now? They don't have it up now, right?
No, it's still up. But it is up. We just clicked the link in the show notes and loaded up the page.
Oh, this is a real... I thought this was just...
you can buy this shirt.
You're on the gear.blizzard.com/us/fall-collection/heroes-of-storm-roll-icon-long-sleeve-shirt.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Wow. You know what? No one's ever given out a URL on like a show before.
No.
Now I know why. It's like, good.
So that thing is $30, and I want to hear about these rolls before I would ever get it. Just I don't know why.
Well, I mean, you could get that. Think about this. You could get this and Spider-Man and wear this while playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, screw Dragon Quest 11. I'll get a shirt instead of it. That's actually not a bad idea. Don't tempt me. Is that tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
I don't have time for another
you
game
could
right now.
You probably start preloading it tonight, and then you're swinging through the town, beating up bad guys. It's got, like, Arkham-style combat. You know you're ready for a fun, swinging Arkham-style game.
I need reviews from people I trust. That's what I need.
My friend pre-ordered it. I can get him to tell you what he thinks tomorrow.
Who is it? Crofton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Scott, I give it a 5 out of 5.
You don't have it yet.
I don't need to.
You love Spider-Man. Freaking, it's fine. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I hope it's not all snarky. Is it going to be snarky? I don't like snark. Spider-Man snark.
I mean, he tells bad jokes and annoys villains, but I'm sure it's reined in to some degree.
He's going to do something dumb and go, oh, Aunt May's not going to be happy about this.
Maybe don't buy it then. That's not like... Sounds like you might not be into it.
I mean, I like Spider-Man as a whatever. It's mostly about should I spend $59?
Like, I think they're going to get. Have you guys heard the voice? Like, I think the voice is going to convey a lot of the energy that he has. And I think it's like a homecoming style Spider-Man. Like,
Scott, what if I told you that in this game, J. Jonah Jameson is a failed former newspaper owner who now has a scandalous podcast where he just drags Spider-Man through the mud constantly, and he checks in every now and then to let you know how much he hates Spider-Man, and if you get sick of it, the way you stop it is you unsubscribe from his podcast.
Is this true?
Yes. They basically made J. Jonah Jameson Alex Jones in this game.
Oh my gosh.
And it seems like a pretty good fit for that character.
Okay, well now maybe I'm.
Although in the comics, it's a lot more fun where he's at because he knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man now, and he feels bad for all the things he's done. So now he's trying to help Spider-Man be better. So Peter will get calls saying like, "Why aren't you down here? Somebody's doing something. You got to get down here. What are you doing? What? Why are you not Spider-Man already?"
Oh, he's like Spider-Man's boss now, basically.
Yes, he now thinks he's in charge of Spider-Man.
That's actually a really wholesome and cool development for that character. I kind of dig that.
Does he say things like,
"I can't stand you, you're idiots"?
Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, but not plural because he's just talking about Spider-Man.
Does he do this?
"I like to f*** too!"
Do you do that ever?
Yeah, he's way into it.
Sorry.
"I like to eat!"
Okay, great. He got kicked off Twitter today, so celebrate, I guess.
Oh, nice.
The Seven Deadly Sins of Heroes. Let's talk about our next one in a series of these that we've done, and I have a little theme for it. Where is it? Oh, that's not it.
What's that from?
Oh, I know what we'll do.
I like that one. That one's good.
It's not bad. We'll play this from John.
"I'm so sick of these mother demons."
All right, there's that. Let's get into it. It's the not switching gears. Explain to me, Bo, the idea of the sinful nature of not switching gears.
Yes, so sins, things you know you should not be doing, but you do anyways. Not switching gears means that, there's a certain tempo and ebb and flow to the game. And if you're new to the game, understandably, it's harder to identify this as readily. But once you've played the game for a little bit, you know, it's pretty easy to see when you're behind in levels or you're behind in structure. The game will dictate the way it's playing out, whether you're supposed to take an aggressive posture or a defensive posture. And so not switching means you're playing in a way counter to what the current strategic need is. And make no mistake, it's very, I'm saying in very broad terms. Mm. There is a level up mechanic. The most common one is you're behind in levels. You have to play differently. We all know we need to do it, but no one wants to eat their vegetables. They want to go kill things.
Right.
And so... so, you know, this is a sin that people do, and I've done it. Lots of us have done it. Sometimes we know better, but we're just being stubborn. But when you're behind in levels, you need to be, you know, focusing on trying to get that XP and keeping damage to a minimum. You need to not be thinking, "Oh, those four players there won't dive me because there's no minion wave, and I have this safe, secure tower that only shoots one bullet. One target." Mm-hmm. Like, they're gonna get you. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get hooked, you're gonna get dove on. You know, you have to switch up your play style, depend and not have an ego about saying, "I'm on the defensive, I'm being boxed in." I think it happens more frequently on being boxed in, but it also happens when it's time to play aggressive and you're playing too defensively. The classic example is you get three of five kills on the team. And you're level 20, 21, you got to keep down. It's time to go core. There's a way to switch your posturing from, you know, putting your fists up and taking the blows and then fighting back and putting in your fists and punching back. And there's a tempo to the game. And it's not too nuanced of a thing. I think no matter where your skill level is, you definitely have a sense of whether you're back footing it or you're front footing it and where you are. And not switching, having an ego about it or being stubborn and not switching is a sin. Yeah. So. Switch up your play. That's how you beat your opponents in this game.
I have a problem with this when someone's pissing me off. It's definitely a lack of mental discipline, because someone on the other team will just be getting my goat multiple times. And if I think I've almost got them because I'm getting revenge for a couple of kills or something, I will sometimes do this where I'll just be like, it's like a bad army movie scene where I'm just like, "I'm going to get him." And I go running out there and the sergeant's like, "You will stand down." But I go in anyway. Right.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes because you're just so full of like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to get him back for this horrible treatment I've had today." And you lose it. And when you do that, you're just full of regret. You walk out going, "Well, that was dumb."
Yeah, it's always a fun thing, especially sometimes you ever see those hyper diaper players in the game who like you can tell like it's quick match, but they are APMing. Mm-hmm. Like there's a gun to their head and they're, you know, give me back my daughter. We'll play this game of heroes first and save you. And they're just playing like their life depends on it.
Yeah.
And they're killing you. Like you said, they're getting you down, but you end up winning the game because that's all they're doing is tryharding and not actually playing the game. So it's the point is it's all about winning the war and not the battles. You can lose battles in the middle of a game and still come out ahead. Right. So yeah. Yeah. You got to listen to your sergeant, Scott.
Switch gears. Well, it's usually you or Kyle that I'm supposed to be listening to. And
I mean, I'm bad at this too. It's like if the biggest thing for me is sometimes we are falling behind and I'm just like, I'm going to hero it and get the big team kill or team wipe or whatever. And only trade 1v1, do something that's kind of not worth it. I don't think I put us in a lot of binds, but sometimes I will do this on occasion, not fail or fail to recognize that it's just better to just play safely for a few minutes until we secure a stronger foothold on whatever play we're going to make.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. I'm going to try to do better at that. Not that you're aiming this at me, obviously. I don't mean that.
No. It's not directed at you.
No,
this
I know.
It's church.
Know.
We're in church.
Yeah.
I'm the reverend or whatever, whoever stands up front, tells people things and say, you've sinned, I've sinned too. Let us together admit that we do this and try to be better human beings in the Nexus.
And now amen. Let's sing
the amen, my brothers and sisters.
Sing the song of heroes, and John stands up and goes, just kidding, you don't have to do one today. John's a little sick today. He's actually doing the show ill. I think y'all should appreciate the fact that he's not feeling well, and yet here he is.
My dearest Martha, I don't feel well. That's all.
That's all.
Enjoy this letter.
Enjoy this letter. I'm done. All right. Well, there's your seven deadly sins for today. We'll have another one next week. How many have we done? Three? Four?
Four.
Four. All right. So we got three more of the seven sins to get to before Brad Pitt wants to know what's in the box. All right. A quick note that next weekend or this weekend, there will be a brand new There Will Be Dungeons. There was a one while I was out of town and while Kyle and Kristen were out of town. So you may not know that. You'll have to go catch the video on YouTube and or the audio on the podcast feed. So because they're it was live too. So a lot of you saw it live. But anyway, go to therewillbedungeons.com right now and you can get that. John, do you want to do a recap in the 90s way with this?
I mean, I wanted it to be informative this week because we did tell people that we weren't going to do one and then we did one.
All right.
But
well, I'll do
I
mean, this then.
I can make something up.
Well, here, we'll do this. The full There Will Be Dungeons crew is back after Stanley's solo adventure. What happened? Are they alive? Is their little team still a team? We'll all find out together on Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific when TWBD, that's There Will Be Dungeons, returns.
All right. Audible presents There Will Be Dungeons, read by Scott Johnson.
From Simon and Schuster. It's always Simon and Schuster. It feels like. I think that's going to do it for the show. I don't have an email today because I'm dumb. So I didn't do an email.
The emails don't exist.
I'm sure there's one I could grab, but.
No. Yeah, grab one. Is that a game we can play? Just grab one at random.
You know what? I am going to do that. Let's do it. Let's do a random email pulled right out of the pile here.
Do we have music for random email pulled out of the pile?
Yeah.
I'm sure that I'm tasking you with two different activities to do at the same time.
I'm sure that I do, actually. Let's see. How about...
I mean, if there wasn't emails for our show, although I'm sure there are tons, then we could just pull from any one of your shows and we'll do that one.
Yeah, we'll answer a TMS question.
Here you go. Spanish Flea. That's the song we're going to use. You guys know the words of this?
There was a little Spanish flea, a record star, he thought he'd be.
Okay, that's what we're going to use. And I'm going to pick randomly from the... I have an entire grouping of emails called Core. And freaking Chrome is being so slow today. All right, here we go. I'll just close my eyes. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go. All right, the random pick is Hunter Skibben, who wrote in and said, hey, dudes, does this happen to you guys too? It has been a good 10 or more times for me. P.S., I am super on board with the idea of an arena-based team league substitute. All right, now what he's talking about is a screenshot he sent me. Chat room, I'll share this with you.
Oh, okay. I was like, he missed a key part of this email.
He did. It says, Cursed Hollow Victory. Rhino B. Crunk is his name in the game. He's ranked 283. He's Silver 1, and he's Johanna level 12. I don't know what he's talking about, though. Let's see. Did I miss something on the email? Let me just double check. Oh.
What's the subject?
Oh, it says, sure didn't play an Overwatch hero. And I look at it, it's Johanna. What?
Does this happen to you two guys, too? It's been a good 10 or more times for me.
What's he talking about? I didn't play an Overwatch hero.
He had a victory on Cursed Hollow? I've had a couple of those.
It's not impossible.
I love this guy's IGN.
Well, this is what you get for picking random, because I still don't know what he's talking about.
Wow, I didn't realize how much quality control went into the email.
Yeah.
Can you share the picture?
Yeah, let me. I'll copy it over to you guys too, so you can see it.
Can you just read that sentence to me again?
Let me read it to you again. It says, "Okay, so the subject." Sure didn't play an Overwatch. Oh, sure didn't.
Oh, I know what it is.
What?
He just got daily quest completed for Overwatch Hero while he was playing Johanna.
Oh, well, that's...
I can tell you exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's because you are in a ranked mode, and when you are in a ranked mode, you gain quest credit regardless of what the quest is.
Correct. When we play Team League, and you guys see us doing that on streams, and you see me dinging... quests, it's not because I'm actually playing the right thing. It's just that when you are willing to go either do unranked draft or full team league stuff, some kind of drafted mode, you get credit for those quests whether you're playing the proper thing or not. So,
well, guess what's not labeled like the percentage increases per level on the different abilities and hit point pools and things that I rail about. Guess what else is also not clearly labeled for players?
Yeah,
the thing we just had to explain to someone writing in is like, the hell is wrong with this broken game?
Yeah, this is busted.
Diablo Hero, and I got Overwatch. I'm not sure that that's anywhere obvious in the UI.
Yeah, they don't make it clear, but I don't remember when I even found out. But I remember being thrilled about it.
It could be they do, and I'm just blind to it because I'm very familiar with the game and ignore a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
In my vision,
I feel like I only learned it from a patch note.
Yeah, maybe that was when I learned it, too. I remember being super stoked about it.
Yeah.
And I still am, because I think it's great.
That
it's
a good change. It was a long change.
Time
ago, so...
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Also very unclear.
I agree.
Like I said, you know, this person was probably like, what the hell?
Well, UI is everything, and sometimes, I mean, it's easy for them as developers to make their game and make their changes and not consider the fact that it's not obvious to everybody. I think this happens a lot. That's why that stuff gets tweaked and patched and whatever, because it's not always obvious what you're supposed to do. That's why they change the way our little over-the-head bars are in the game to indicate different effects and different buffs and diva buffs at any given time, because otherwise it's kind of hard to tell and you're just sort of guessing. So maybe they need to be more overt about those kinds of rules. Here's the thing I'm curious about. Yeah.
Is at the bottommost thing in his chat window is your report has been sent. Thank you for contacting customer support.
I reported all his.
I'm like, were you reporting this error or was someone toxic in your game? I just think it's funny.
That is pretty funny. Yeah. You may have sent too much to us. All right. I'll do one more because why not? I picked one at random. Fun. This one's Bradley Dexter, who says, "You have earned my ire, kind sir," is his subject.
Oh, wait, before you go further, which one of us do you think he's mad at?
Also, play the sound after you say it.
Oh, what sound? Which one? Which one do you
weenu,
want?
Weenu,
oh,
weenu,
the weenu, weenu.
Weenu,
weenu. Weenu, weenu. All right, here it comes. After or before I read it?
After every sentence of this email, if there are any more sentences.
Okay, here we go. There are plenty of them. Okay, here we go.
Say the thing you were going to answer, John, first.
Oh, what were you saying? Oh, I'm going to guess it's me. I don't know if it is yet because I haven't read forward, but I'm going to guess it's me because everyone's always mad at me for something. So I'm just going to guess it's me.
I would think it would be Bo.
Okay.
But because I do Azeroth Roundtable and I get all the hate mail there, I'm going to also probably think it's me.
Hey, I think
I'm going to go with Scott, because people, I've seen the stuff you guys send Scott, man. You should be ashamed.
Yeah, people are mean. They can be mean sometimes. I think I'm on Azeroth Roundtable Friday, I think. I think I'm on, aren't I?
Yeah, not tomorrow, but next Friday.
Or next Friday, right, 14th.
Yeah.
Okay, here's So here it is. I'll read it again. You have earned my ire, kind sir. Spaceballs and Robin Hood Men in Tights are both good movies. What?
Me.
Wait, sound effect.
I'll go.
I didn't say anything bad about Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Okay.
Let him finish.
It says, if you continue to besmirch good movies, I shall have no choice but to challenge you to pistols at dawn. Love your content, but you have irked me on this day, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, was you, Scott?
It was
you
me.
You got labeled for my Spaceballs hate.
Yeah. So then he says, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And his name is Brad.
It was perfect. It was a perfect reading. The sound effect is incredible. It makes all emails way better.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
And everything else, too.
Thank you for random email time. That's our new theme for that.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't remember even when I did that. That's from some old commercial. Anyway, there you go. If you'd like to send your own emails into the show, maybe they'll be read in order or at random. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address to send them to. And we are happy to get those to you each and every time that we do. That's going to do it for today's show. As always, patreon.com/core show is how you can support this madness. If you like the show and you enjoy what we do, that's a great way to support it. Many of you have. We'd love it if many more did. patreon.com/core show. Support creators in every walk of life. HeroesForYou.com is our website. And as always, you can find us on Twitter. Core Heroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. For all of us, to all of you, we hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.